I'm married with three kids, and early this year we thought, hey, let's do a brand new family tradition. Let's go down to Adelaide Oval, watch the Adelaide Crows play, and cheer them on. And so we did, and at first it was a lot of fun. We cheered the Crows on, we booed the umpire, we booed Collingwood. But after a little while, Collingwood started to pull ahead, and they got further and further ahead, and they won by a big margin. So that was no fun. And afterwards we thought, let's not do that again. As a family tradition, it lasted all of one day. This year, the Adelaide football team had a horrible year, and at the end of it, they got rid of their coach. They want to find a new leader. And we all find ourselves in positions where we pick and choose leaders, and maybe we even find ourselves as leaders ourselves. It could be something as being the principal of a local school, a CEO of a large company, or even the leader of a country. And it makes us wonder this question: what do I look for in a leader? And our question today is, what can Christmas teach me about being a leader? And we all know the Christmas story, don't we? Jesus, the Son of God, he becomes one of us, a little baby. But he grows up to serve us as a leader, and one day to die on a cross in our place to save us. And if we believe this, we can become part of his team. Team Jesus, find love and belonging, and one day he'll set up a kingdom here on earth. And every day is a day where we get to be Jesus to those around us, and we can spread his love, mercy, and justice here on this planet. So our question today is this: what can Christmas teach me about being a leader? And here I want to suggest three things. Number one is this: it's about humility and not charisma. It's about humility and not charisma. Now, I want you to picture this. You're going for a job interview. This is the most important job interview of your life. You have three choices. You can wear a white shirt, you can wear a coloured shirt, or you can wear a coloured patterned shirt. So we all work in the same company. We all get in to know each other. As a get-to-know-you sort of question, just randomly, who here would choose the white shirt? Just out of interest. All right. Who here would choose a plain, solid, coloured shirt? Who here would pick a coloured, patterned shirt? All right, so the minority was really in there. Well, you chose the white shirt. You are in good company, because 1 billion Asians cannot be wrong. Because for Asians, maybe not for us in Australia, for Asians the white shirt says, hey, I don't want to draw attention to myself. And according to Jim Collins in his book Good to Great, that is what we look for in a leader. We're all familiar with Jim Collins. He talks about five levels of leadership. Level one, we're just the highly capable individual. Level two, we're a contributing team member. Level three, we're a competent manager. Level four, we're an effective leader. But level five, that's that secret ex-Jedi Knight master leader, the level five executive. Well, what does a level five person have that the other four levels of leadership don't have? And it's this. According to Jim Collins, and I've brought it down into this sentence, it's a paradoxical blend of humility and strength. And it's paradoxical and it's counterintuitive, because we would have thought we want the rock star leader with charisma, but we really want the quiet, self-effacing, serving leader. We think we want the peacock leader who says, look at me, but Jim Collins says, no, we actually want the leader who says, don't look at me. And Jim Collins says it's paradoxical, it's counterintuitive, it's not what we think we would have wanted. But according to Christmas, this is exactly how God has programmed the universe. Because the Christmas story says Jesus Christ, the CEO of the universe, becomes one of us, a little person, in humility. And that's what those verses just told us. If we're going to be leaders doing nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ, who, being in the very nature God, the CEO of the universe, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. And that's why the first thing we look for in a leader is this. It's about humility and not charisma. The second thing we look for in a leader is this. It's about sacrifice and not gain. We want sacrifice in our leaders and not gain. Sydney traffic is horrible. So last year, in my way to beat Sydney traffic, and also because of my midlife crisis, I decided to buy a motorbike. Because as you know, with a motorbike, you can lane filter and go down the middle of the cars and come to the front. But I've since found it's no solution at all, because if you come down to the front of the line of traffic, the cars hate you. And they want to be first, and they don't want you to be first. So when the lights go green, they take off, and they want to get in front of you. They want to be first. I want to be first. Everybody wants to be first. Well, according to Simon Sinek, in his book on leadership, Leaders Eat Last, that is the last thing you want from a leader. Because a true leader doesn't want to be first. A true leader wants to eat last. And Simon Sinek says, what we want in a leader is this. Someone who will sacrifice themselves for the good of the others. But what we've ended up with are leaders who sacrifice others for the good of themselves. And that's a model of leadership we're seeing right now. And I can give you many examples. Adam Newman, we all know him, CEO of WeWork. His company IPO'd and tanked, but he got away with a bonus of gazillions of dollars. Lance Armstrong, winner of the Tour de France 7 times, but he sacrificed the ethics of his team for his own personal gain. Steve Jobs, the pin-up boy of leadership, CEO of Apple, but apparently in private, he was a horrible person to work with. He was horrible to his family, and he was horrible to his friends. These are leaders who sacrifice the good of others for their own personal gain. But Simon Sinek says, no, a leader should sacrifice themselves for the good of others. But why should this be? Well, according to Simon Sinek, we can trace this back thousands and thousands of years. As human beings, we naturally form teams, tribes, so we can be safe to protect ourselves from the dangers outside. But in these tribes, we choose leaders. And yes, we might give the leaders the bigger portion of food, the bigger portion of pay, but there's an implicit social contract that in return, you as a leader, you're the one that has to keep us safe from the dangers outside. So you're the first one over the trench and we will follow. You're the last one off the ship. You make sure everyone else gets off first, because that is what a leader does. And then if we can trust our leader to do that, we trust ourselves. And if we expect our leader to do that, we expect that of each other, and we have unity, and we function, and we're safe. So according to Simon Sinek, when that happens, we're a united front. And he gives the example of a herd of cows. When they're united, they all face outwards with their horns. But if we can't trust each other, we face inward, and the danger comes from inside rather than from outside. But all comes down to this. Is there a leader we can trust who will sacrifice themselves first to protect the team? And that's what we see in the story of Christmas. And we see this with Jesus. Jesus made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross, to sacrifice himself for us, for the good of his team. Now we're wondering, whoa, where can I find the power within to be this sort of leader? So the third thing that Christmas teaches us is this. Christmas gives me the power to be humble and secure. When I was a little boy, I had to learn the piano. Every Asian in this room had to learn the piano. It's funny, every Asian parent makes their kid learn the piano, and yet they don't want you to be a piano player. Like if you say, hey, Mum and Dad, I've suddenly decided I want to be a piano player. They go, no, we want you to be an engineer, a doctor, accountant, a lawyer, not a piano player. Well, why did you make me learn the piano then? Anyway, I had to learn the piano, but I wasn't very good at it. So I still remember after my first year of lessons, as a little boy, they had a big end of year Christmas party. They gave out awards. They gave out A's, B's, C's, D's, and the Encouragement Award. And I got the Encouragement Award. I was a little boy, and even then I worked out, well, I think I know what this is. It's not an A, it's not a B, it's not a C, it's a D. But they just felt like they had to give me something. And my whole life has been like that. I remember being in a football team of my local primary school. But again, being the little Asian kid, I was never good enough to play on the team. I was always on the squad, in the squad, but never got to run on. At the end of the year, they won the grand final. Trophies for everyone. They gave me a trophy, even though I didn't run on. And you can imagine what they were thinking. We better give him a trophy, otherwise he's going to feel left out. Like, what do we do? So there's this idea that we're all so insecure. We need trophies to be somebody. And if we're insecure, we're forever going to need trophies. We'll need the trophy family to show off in our Christmas newsletters. We need the trophy Instagram holiday photos. We'll need the trophy work presentation. We need our trophies. We need our achievements to be somebody. And that is what makes a narcissist leader. Now, not every leader will be a narcissist, but every narcissist will find a way to become a leader. And so if we're a leader, there's a very good chance we might be a narcissist. And there's a very good chance we're working for a narcissist. And so people ask me, well, what is it that makes a narcissist leader a narcissist leader? Well, it's that double lethal combination of pride and insecurity. Because if you're proud, you're going to need achievements to be somebody. And if you're insecure, you're going to be threatened by the achievements of those around you. And if we have those qualities, we become what Simon Sinek says, we have authority, but not leadership. Yes, we give orders and people listen to us, but we don't inspire them to follow. We become what I call a negative energy leader. The leader walks in and sucks the energy out of the room, rather than a positive energy leader, someone who comes in and fills the room with energy and confidence. So how can I become a leader and not just an authority figure? Well, I need the opposite of pride and insecurity. I need to be humble but secure at the same time. And that's what the Christmas story gives us, because it says Jesus was humble, so I can be humble as well. Jesus was perfect, so I don't have to pretend to be perfect. And I have all the love and belonging I need in Jesus, so I don't feel threatened by the successes of others. Instead, I celebrate their successes. So what does Christmas teach me about leadership? It gives me both the model to be a good leader and the power to be a good leader. In the end, this is what it comes down to. As a person of power, how do I value the little people in my life? How do I value the delivery person who risks life and limb to give me a $10 burrito? How do I value the person who makes my workspace a bit more clean and tidy? How do I value the person that serves me at the counter? I have a friend and he can only fly business class. And I keep telling him, dude, it's not worth the $10,000 ticket. Whatever they're giving you up in that plane, it's not worth $10,000. Just keep the $10,000 and spend it on something else. He goes, no, I have to fly business class. And I say, why? It's not worth the $10,000. And he says, because I can never go back to economy. And I sort of get where he's coming from. But Christmas tells us we have Jesus Christ, the CEO of the universe, who gave up his first class ticket to come in the back row of economy with us so he could bring us into his first class kingdom. And that gives me not just the love and belonging and security I want in Team Jesus, but it gives me the model and the power to lead well.